Go just prick me in the heart. I called it this morning that we were going to be down 100 tonight, but I don't believe all them 100 are lost, not for any way or measure. But I tell you what, there's something inside those hearts that needs to be there. It needs to be a fire that gets kindled back up that would bring them out here on a Sunday night. And most of you guys that are here tonight, you're the Wednesday night, the Sunday morning, the Sunday night, and you'd be here if we had 10 inches of snow and it was a blinding snow. You'd be here. I know how you are. But let's pray for them that don't have a desire to come. It's the same 100 that didn't come back tonight that doesn't come to the Sunday school. You know what I'm saying? Let's just pray for them that God will put it way down inside their heart. Man, y'all are in for a treat. Now go ahead and be seated. You're in for a real treat tonight. The Lord put this upon my heart just a little while back to do this. This is before Brother Luke even announced his call to preach. What have you been preaching? 3 weeks?
Month and a half.
Month and a half, yes. How many times have you got to stand? 3, 2, 10? 5 times already. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord's opening doors for him, and I appreciate that. And Brother Justin, I don't know exactly how long, but I know that I was up at Billings Hill in a revival about the time that, or just shortly before or after you announced your call to preach. It's good to have him. He's my cousin, by the way. He'd be my second cousin. I got Brother Keith, my first cousin here. And I'm just looking to see what God's going to do. I also called my nephew. There was going to be three amigos, but Tyler Hall is my nephew, and I called him, and he had another engagement tonight, but we'll get him up here as the Lord will lead and allow. But I'm glad to have these two that are here tonight. Listen, brother, can you remember preaching your first message, Brother Kenny? That had to be, what, about at least 10 years ago or 50 or whatever it was. He said this morning that I read the scriptures. That was the first message that he ever preached. And stuff like that never leaves you. And I'm glad that he's still calling old sinners to an altar of repentance and then finding them faithful, putting them into gospel ministry. I want to read one verse of scripture, and I quoted it this morning, but I want to read it tonight. And it's in the 122nd division of Psalms, and I'll be done with my part. I've told them I didn't put a time limit on them. I want them to just preach as long as the Lord wants them to preach, but I told them to be respectful of the other one that still yet got a message to preach. The Bible is very clear on that let's let the Lord lead you. I mean, I didn't call you to preach. I'm not going to tell you what to preach or how long to preach. And I'm always very scary to put a time limit on God's man. I just say, just mind the Lord. And if you mind the Lord, it'll be right. The Bible says in the 122nd division of Psalms, and the very first verse, that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Ken, does that make you glad? Man, it makes me glad. It makes me happy. It does something for me, Brother Keith, whenever it comes around to church time. Why? Because I get to go. Some feel like they've got to go, but much God, we get to go. You do like Buddy Perry, who's not here tonight, or Miss Mary, and you wrestle kidney stones for about 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe a month or longer on Sister Mary's part, and whenever that thing finally relieves you of the grip of pain that you're in, you just can't wait to get back to God's house. And I'm telling you, there's things that beset you. There's things that'll sideline you. There's things and cares and all these things that'll set you aside. But I'm telling you what, when you get to go, you ought to be glad.
Yes.
There's a whole lot more places that we could be tonight than in here. If you don't believe it, go ask Miss Ruth down there just recovering from surgery. Keely, you still amaze me. I don't know. You're like some bionic woman or something. She had a major surgery Thursday. She come this morning and then she asked me, she said, please open the doors of the church. I just got saved. But then that thing left me this morning. She's wanting to join the church. Is Taylor here tonight? Taylor? She too's wanting to join the church, and I told her I'd get both of them. I want to do that tonight before we leave. If we leave here and we don't give that youngin' a chance to come up here and join as a candidate for baptism, somebody hit me in the head with an orange or something. Would you do that? Y'all don't know what that is. Brother Scott Wagner's not here tonight that I see. But I had a dream the other night. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to sit down. I had a dream the other night. I was standing right here. The choir was not up here. There was nobody behind me. But every single one of y'all, and Derek Bumgarner ain't here tonight either. Derek's my dream interpreter. He's my Joseph or my Daniel or whatever. He got the pickle out of my thigh for me. But anyway, Calvary folks know what that was about. Kenny, you don't even know what that is. I dreamed I had a pickle in my upper thigh. That thing festered up like a boil. And whenever I squeezed it out, a pickle popped out. Brother Derek told me. He told me what it was all about. And he said that I was in a pickle. He said, not that I was in a pickle, but a pickle was in me. But I was sitting here and I was facing you guys. Listen, I'm not preaching. I do this. Y'all were facing Pedro. The church pews were facing that way. But I was up here and I was preaching. And everybody's looking that way. And for whatever reason, I reached right under here and I grabbed an orange. Brother Scott was sitting right in here about where Sterling's at. And I threw that thing and hit Brother Scott in the back of the head with an orange. Now, y'all tell me what that dream's about. I don't know what it's about. That's crazy stuff. But don't let me forget to open the door so that young can become a member of Calvary tonight. Brother Justin, you ready? Come on, brother. Pray for this young preacher. How long have you been preaching?
Answered the call on September the 6th.
September the 6th. Come on up here, young. How many times you had a chance to preach? Half a dozen? More than that?
About 10 or so.
There you go. Mind the Lord. This is Brother Justin Cheek, and this is Brother Luke Ponder. I'm going to let him hand off to him. Listen, I've got a bell down here. Ours ain't a cowbell. Ours is one of them little, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings kind of bells. But yes, I'm not going to use it. You just mind the Lord tonight, all right?
All right, yes, sir. First off, I just want to start off by saying thank you, Brother Mark, for turning over your pulpit to me and Brother Luke. I can't thank the Lord enough for the doors that He's opened since I've announced my call to preach. And I just can't praise Him enough for it. And I want to thank Calvary Baptist Church for allowing me to come and preach tonight. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And when her page stopped turning, we're going to look in verse number 8. And before we start reading, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to come to you tonight, Lord, just as humbly as I know how, Lord. Lord, I want to ask you, Lord, that you'd just hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord, that they wouldn't see me, Lord, but that they would see you. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, Lord, touch my mouth and my thoughts, Lord. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you just help me here tonight, Lord. Lord, and if there be one lost here in the midst tonight, Lord, I pray that you just convict them, Lord. Make them come to a realization, Lord, that you're the only thing in this life that really matters, Lord. Lord, I just want to praise you and I want to thank you here tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for your word, Lord. And I want to praise your name here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm looking in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And the first two words, thank you for standing in reverence of the word. The first two words of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 is this book.
Amen.
That is the message that I want to bring tonight is on this book.
Amen.
This book of the Word of the Law is, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like this book.
Amen.
And I want to tell you tonight, if you're not holding an authorized King James Version, you're holding not just a version, but you're holding a perversion. If you're not holding the King James Version Bible, you're not holding a holy Word of God. It's only the King James Version, but I want to talk about just for a little while on this book. And it says in verse number 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according unto all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Y'all may be seated.
Amen.
Like I said before, there is nothing like this book. And it says that it shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Brother Mark was just talking about before we come to service tonight that y'all are looking to build a new sanctuary tonight. And the only way that you're going to get that thing built is to meditate in this book day and night. And it can't start now. It started a long time ago when some people started getting to see glory when they got their face toward heaven, when they got on their knees and started praying. That's when it started. That's when people started getting in the book and getting in God's Word and seeking His face. That they did the meditated day in and day out. And it says that thou mayest observe and do according unto all that is written therein. Tonight I want to tell you that we need to observe everything that is in this book and heed to the words that God is telling us in this book. This book, it says in Samuel. Let me go ahead and flip there. It says in Samuel, verse number 3 and chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. I want to tell you that this book is precious. This book is more precious than anything that we will ever have in this life. This book is precious, is what it says in 1 Samuel. But today, the Word is not as precious as it once was. Today, this book is not as precious as it used to be. It's because we come to church day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday, and Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday night after Sunday night, and we just endure the preaching. We just endure the book. We might sit down and late at night after work and say, well, I really need to study my Bible, but the game's on tonight. I think I'm going to watch it. We just endure coming to church, and we endure the things of God. And that's why the book is not as precious as it used to be. And I'm running fast here, and I'm trying to leave them plenty of time. But the book is precious, and we just endure it. It says in Ecclesiastes 12 and 12, it says, to the making of many books, there is no end. And in John chapter 21 and verse number 5, I'm going to go ahead and flip there. In John 21 and verse 25, it says, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Amen.
Amen. The book says if we was to write down everything that Jesus did for me, if we was to write down everything that God did for you, if we was to write down the things that God does day in and day out, the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. There's one of my dad's favorite songs in the Redback Hymnal talks about the writer. And he says if his quill was to be, if the ocean was to be made ink and his quill was to write down the things, he would run the ocean dry telling about how good God has been. And it's all because of this book. This book was precious in those days. And it says, in Psalms 119 in verse number 27, it says, and the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The word is precious. Gold and silver is considered precious metals. But it says right here in Psalms, it says that his law of his mouth is better to me than thousands of precious gold and silver. This word is precious tonight. And it says over, if you'll look over just a few verses in Psalm 119 and verse 103, it says, how sweet are thy words unto thy taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I say honey's pretty sweet. I love a little, mix some honey up with some butter on a biscuit. That's pretty good. That's pretty sweet. I like that kind of eating. But this book is more precious. This book is sweeter than biscuits. Amen. This book, and some might ask, why is this book so precious? Well, let's look on over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16, and I'll explain a little bit to why this book is so precious unto me, and it should be to every Christian. It says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, for where a testament is, stop right there. For where a testament is, I don't know if you know this tonight, pretty simple. Any young Christian should know this, but your book is split, your book, this book is split into two parts, the Old and the New. A testament is what it's called, the Old and the New Testament. And that word testament derives from the word testimony. This book tonight is a testimony of your Savior. This book is a testimony of what happened to you and what happened to me, what happened to the children of Israel. This book is a testimony tonight. And not only a testimony is something that in a court of law is supposed to withstand the court of law. It's supposed to withstand the pressures of court. Now, it says in Psalm 119 verse 86, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It says in Isaiah 40 in verse 8, it says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This book will stand no matter what you throw at it. This book will stand long after we're gone. This book has stood for 2,000 years and it will stand for 2,000 more and even all into eternity. This book will stand. This book is a testimony that has been tried and tested.
Amen.
Forever and ever, and it will stand.
Yes, it
says in Psalm 12 and verse 16. 12, it says in Psalm 12 and verse number 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words,
amen,
pure as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times.
Amen.
It has been tried and tried again, and His word will stand. But you might want to say, this testimony, who does it testify of? Well, in Hebrews chapter 16, it says that for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Right.
So this testament testifies of the testator. I believe John said it pretty well whenever he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. And it goes on in verse number 14 to say that God, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm talking about, John was talking about the Son of God. He was talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was talking about the Lamb of God. He was talking about the Alpha and the Omega. He was talking about the Bread of Life. He was talking about the Good Shepherd. He was talking about the Messiah. He was talking about my Savior. He was talking about my Redeemer. That's who he was talking about. This testimony testifies of my Redeemer. I wrote a little thing down that the Lord gave me right here. It says, my Redeemer came and died to redeem me of my sin, to grant me remission from every time that I failed Him. And He came and died to reclaim me, a child of the King. But it says right here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16, it says, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. If we're going to have remission of our sins, it goes on in verse number 22, it says, and almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
That's right.
My Redeemer came into this world to redeem me of my sin. He came from heaven. He left all the riches He had in heaven. He left the crown. He left the throne. He left the sphere, and He come and took on the worldly flesh of humanity. He left His divine nature and took on human nature so that me and you could see God. Could see the Word. He demonstrated the Word come and was made flesh, and in His flesh He demonstrated the Word to the world. And He lived and died a perfect life. And He went to a cross for you and for me, not for His sake, but for our sake. He didn't have to. He did it because He wanted to. It says when He was on the cross that He gave up the ghost. They didn't take His life. He gave it up freely. He died for you and me and shed His blood for you because He loved you enough to save you from sin. I'm just about done. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. There comes that silver and gold again coming up. But it says in this verse that they are corruptible. In this world they might be precious, but in heaven they're laid with sidewalk. They're corruptible. In this life, to Jesus, they're corruptible. And it says, from our vain conversation, received a tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He came to this world and bled and died for me and you with the precious blood of Christ. This book is precious because it testifies of my Redeemer who shed His precious blood for you and for me. And I'm going to flip one more place and I'm going to be done. In Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. The title of my message is This Book. This Book. It says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, and it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works." And it says in verse 15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written therein, was not written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire." I want to tell you tonight that this book, just like mine, just like any other child of the King's, just like any other saved Christian tonight, this book is your testimony. This book testifies of the Redeemer. But if you're not a saved and if you're not a child of the King, this book, you can't claim its promises. You can't claim this book as your testimony. And there's going to be a day come when God is going to judge. And if you can't, if you're not covered by this book, if this is not your testimony, if you're not covered by the precious blood of Jesus, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. I pray tonight that not one person would leave this place here tonight not knowing that this is their testimony, not knowing that they would be, not knowing that their home would be in heaven. I want to thank you again, Calvary Baptist Church, for letting me come here tonight. I want to thank you again, Brother Mark, for letting me stand in your pulpit and preach.
Amen, brother.
Brother Luke.
Come on, Brother Luke. Psalms 145. I won't give no time for the devil to get in the way. Psalms 145. I thank you, Brother Mark, like Justin said, for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit.
Amen. Bless you.
I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in my life. Like Justin said, it's nothing of me, but it's all of God. Psalms 145, you don't have to stand because I want to preach on the whole chapter tonight, but you don't have to stand. But before I start, the choir was singing about that grace.
Amen.
I'm still glad that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9, His grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
I'm glad when everything else in my life turns their back on me, I'm glad His grace is going to be there with me.
Amen.
Before I start, I want to say something. I'm not Curtis Ponder. I'm Luke Ponder. If you came to hear my daddy, you have come for the wrong reason tonight, church. I'm Luke Ponder, and that's what you're going to get. Before I go preach, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Chris, do you mind leading us to the Lord in prayer? God, I come before. Thank you. By way of introduction, I want to talk about what the Psalm 145 really is. I've been reading after Warren W. Wisby. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he talked about this psalm by telling a story. He took his family to Disney World once, and while they was walking through the park, the theme song of Disney, the soundtrack messed up. And all they heard was that song. And what the Psalm 145 is it trying to get to the point where we just need to praise the Lord. And the whole chapter is about talking to the, praising the Lord. And that's what we're going to do tonight. With the purpose of this chapter, like I said, is to praise the Lord. In Psalms 145, there are no requests and no confessions of sin. It's just pure praise. In this chapter, there are three things that I found that motivated this psalmist when he was writing. And the first one is the greatness of God. In verses 3 through 6, it says, "Great is the word, and greatness greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall pray and shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare their mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of the whole, and the wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." In the verses that we're reading, it talks about no man, how great they are. The only verse in the Bible that talks about the greatness of men is in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 5. And it says, "God saw the wickedness of men was great."
Right.
And that's not what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the God's gratefulness. The first point under the sub point is God's gratefulness to his people. And that's in verse number 3. Great is the Lord, and greatness to be praised, and his graciousness is unsearchable. I'm glad you can't search for God's gratefulness. It's just there with you. The next one is God is great in His works. There's a list that I found on the internet. It talks about all His wonderful, all His miracles. I'm not going to read them all, but in John chapter number 2, it says that Jesus turns water into wine. The next one is Matthew chapter number 8. Jesus cleans a man with leprosy. Also in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals a woman in the crowd. But you might think, well, that's back then, but I want to bring before you now. You might say, what about to now? Are you saved?
Amen.
Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved, Justin? That's the work of God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm saved. I'm glad I serve a God of second chances tonight, church. If it was up to me 11 years ago, I'd be burning in a place called hell tonight. But I'm thank God, September 19th, 2011, God came by my way and saved me by the marvelous grace of God. The next one is God is great in His majesty. What that word basically means is it's great in His power. Everything that the Lord does is gracious and is glorious in majesty. The next point I want to talk about is the goodness of God. In verse number 7 through 10, it says, "Thou shalt abundantly utter the memories of thy great goodness and shall sing of the righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Verse number 10, "All that works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thy name." Whatever God thinks, says, does, plans, accomplish is good, because Psalms 100 verse 5 still says the Lord is good. Under that point, it says God's goodness is abundant. Verse number 7, "Thou shalt abundantly utter the memory of great goodness and shall sing of the righteousness." He gives his goodness abundantly and generous way. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 17, it says, "Given all things to enjoy." He don't run out, church. God is always there. He's going to have some right here. He's going to have some right here, but He's never going to run out. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 17, He's the giver of every good and perfect gift, church. And I'm thankful for that. His goodness is abundant even when we fail Him. In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 45, it says He still makes the sun to shine on both the evil and good, and the rain to fall on the just and unjust. I'm glad when I'm not doing what I need to do, He still wakes me up. He still lets me see the sun. He still lets me breathe. And I'm thankful for that. The next one is His goodness is also compassionate. In verse number 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and end of great mercy." He is not good to us because we deserve it, but He's good to us because it's merciful and compassionate. And I'm thankful for that. If it was up to us, church, we wouldn't be here tonight. If it was up to me and you, church, we wouldn't be saved. We'd be in a place called hell. But I'm thankful for God being compassionate towards us, that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. The next one I want to talk about is His goodness is universal. Verses 9 through 10, it says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless Thee." 13 times in this psalm, all is mentioned.
Amen.
What all is us, church. He is good for all of us. He's just not good to me. He's just not good to you, Brother Mark, or you, Chris, but He's good to all of us. The next one, the third point, I'll be finished. The grace of God. Verse 14 through 20, it says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and rises up all that will be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and the despair of every living thing. The Lord is righteous and shall all His ways, and glory and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will always hear their cry and save them." Verse number 20, "The Lord presenteth all them that love Him, that all the wickedness shall be destroyed." In verse number 14, it says, "God is gracious to us who fall." In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 1, it says, casting all your cares upon Him.
Amen.
I'm glad when I fall, He's going to be right here beside of me so I don't hit the ground. I'm thankful for that. The next one is God is gracious to those who hunger. And that's verses 15 through 17. Well, I'm not talking about spiritually hungry, but I'm talking about physically. The Jews, in this verse is what they're talking about. They rely on the rain to eat. So what God has to do is He has to prepare the rain so they can eat, and they're thankful for that. God is gracious to those who pray, and that is verses 18 through 19. If you don't pray, church, He's not going to answer your prayer. I mean, that's common sense. I'm thankful when I pray. It might not happen then, but it's going to happen sometime. God is gracious to those who love Him. That's verses 20 through 21. I'll go ahead and read verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. I'm glad He loves me, church. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't love Him like I'm sorry, but He loves me more than I love Him, and that's the point I'm trying to get to. And I'm closing right here. David opened this psalm with a personal praise in verse number 1. It says, I will exalt thy my God. But closing, it is asking all that flesh to bless God's holy name. And in the middle of that, in verse number 10, it says, all that works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. What a thrilling privilege we have to bless the Lord, church. But why can't we do it together? Preacher, it's yours.
Right. I'll throw that bell away. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and I appreciate both messages, and I thank God for this book. And like I told the pastor, this book's not boring. I believe he preached that message, and it's a hymn book. I believe he referred to that too. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about our church. It's all about Him. And brother Luke, you did a great job, and I'm glad you're not your dad. You're not a copycat. You're not. You are you. God called you to preach, and if He wanted another dad, another one of your dad, He would have made another one, but He made you. And I'm thankful for both messages. And if you have your Bible, we'll go ahead and get started. I won't be up here long. I got to watch, so I know the time, and I'll be done. Kim ain't going to tell you how many points, so I got a couple. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. I don't have no notes. I don't have anything. I just got what God put in my heart, so we won't be long. And Romans chapter number 8, when you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. He's looking at his watch. Romans 8, and verse number 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it was written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm glad that we're more than conquerors. I'm glad we're on the winning side. We're on the side that's already won. I'm not looking from the other side. I'm glad that we can experience a victory on this side of heaven. We're not have to walk down with our heads down, down and out, discouraged and defeated. I'm glad we have the power through Christ to live a victorious life. I know sometimes we're going to slip up and mess up, we'll fall on our face, but thank God for His grace we can keep, get up and keep going on. I'm thankful that we can live as conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 38. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Basically, He asked a question, then He answers His question. He said, what shall separate us? And then He gives you a whole list of things that won't separate us. I thank God that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Wherever we go, it's going to be right behind us. It's going to be in front of us. It's going to be in us. It's going to be all through us. The love of God is with us wherever we go. I'm thankful for that love of God. There's no other type of love than that love of God. I know I have brotherly love. I have, you know, we love everything, but there are different types. There's just something about the love of God. Pastor, you opened up in the prayer room. There's nothing like that agape love of God. Nothing nothing else can compare to it. I believe you can summarize that as a mother that loves her child. Man. I mean, that ain't even close, but yet God sent his only son to the world to die for a sinner such as me and you. The Bible says no greater. You can go ahead and be seated. I preach a whole message and you're still standing, but yeah, it's good. I believe the Bible says a merry heart doeth well, like a medicine. So let me back up and then we'll get started again. But I'm glad the love of God, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I'm glad that wherever I go, the love of God is still with us. I'm glad that whenever I go out in the world, I can take the love of God with me. I believe the world should see the love of God in us. And not only that, I'm glad that we can feel the love of God. I'm glad that we can feel something through Christ Jesus. I'm glad we got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. You say, preacher, you saved by feelings. No, I'm not. But I'm glad I can feel something every once in a while. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost that leads and guides and directs me every step I take. I don't want to walk outside of God's will. I don't want to walk in his permissive will, but I got to walk right down up in the middle of God's divine will for my life. I tell you, that's where the true blessings of God flow, is right in his middle, his divine will for my life. If you get outside, if you deviate a little to the left or right, you'll be in the will of God, but you won't be in his divine will. You'll be in the permissive will of God. I don't want to be in that. Why? Because I'll miss some blessings. I might miss some opportunities to preach. I might miss the blessings that God have in store for me, but if I walk right up and down in the middle of God's divine will, I'm not going to miss a thing. That's where true blessings flow. That's where true happiness flows, when you walk right up and down in the middle of God's love. And I'm glad that we can experience that as living as a Christian, as being a preacher or a deacon or whatever it might be. We can experience the love of God. I'm thankful for that. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. There's nothing like the love of God. You imagine our Savior hanging there on heaven and earth. He said, my God, Eli, Eli, Lashon Bakhthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he was hanging there between heaven and earth, he looked up to God and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn his back on his only son because of the sin. It was my sin and it's your sin as he was hanging there. Can I tell you one of the first things? He said seven things from the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He said, I thirst. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, it is finished. He said all those things, but one thing caught my eye whenever I was reading that. And the Holy Ghost highlighted that whenever he was hanging there. And then people said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He said, even that guy on the cross was hanging there, that malefactor. He said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He said, get yourself off that cross. If you have the power in heaven and earth, show us your power. Show us your glory. Get off that cross and save yourself and us. He said, I didn't come to save myself. I came to save y'all. He said, I didn't come to make a name of myself. I came to represent my Father. I came to do his will. Even whenever he was standing before Pilate, he said, it was to this end I was born. He said, I was born to die. He said, I'm the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He said, I'm here for a purpose, and that's to do his will. As he was hanging there, and the Roman soldiers was there. I mean, they came by, ripped out his beard. They plucked it. I mean, they did everything to him. They hit him with the cat of nine tails. I mean, he was scourged. I mean, he was all that. And yet hanging there, I believe blood, sweat, and tears was dripping off his body. He was hanging there. One of the things he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine that? I can't explain that no other than the love of God that was in him. He looked out at them. They spit in it. You can do anything, but don't spit in my face. Can I tell you, I'll get in the flesh real quick. But can I tell you what they did? They spit in his face. They plucked his beard out. They did all manner of things to him. They stripped his robe. They mocked him. They said, behold, the King of the Jews. He said, they even put a subscription above his head. Behold, the King of the Jews in Latin, Greek. And they said, hey, if you're really who you are, get off that cross. And he opened not his mouth. The Bible says he was dumb as a lamb before the shears. So he opened not his mouth. He was there hanging there and he looked and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, I can't explain that other than the love of God. The love of God that was in him. The Bible says no greater love than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. I'm thankful that we are known as the friends of God. He said, if you do whatsoever I commandeth, you'll be my friend. I'm thankful for that. The love of God. Where would we be had it not been for the love of God? Where would we be? I tell you, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I probably wouldn't be in here in church. Be honest, I'd probably be somewhere watching the football game, not caring about anything. But you know what? The love of God that's inside of my heart. I don't want to do anything other than please Him. I know it's time to go to church, so you know what? I get up and I go to church. Why? Because I don't want to miss a blessing. Amen. I tell you, it's a blessing to serve God. Church, I love Him, but most of all, He loves me. I tell you, the love of God, I tell you, there's nothing like it. You can't explain it. You can't. I mean, there's nothing like the love of God. I tell you, what shall separate us from it? Nothing. We find that in the Scripture. He asked the question, what shall separate us from the love of God? Then he says all these things. He said, that ain't going to work. He said, well, more than conquerors through him. Then he said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. I'm glad no matter what the devil throws at us, we're still saved and sealed to that day of redemption. I tell you, if the devil had any power, we wouldn't be here tonight. But you know what? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm glad I serve the one who has all power in heaven and earth. He has all power in everything. I'm glad that he still rules. I tell you, he's still sitting on his throne. I tell you, the devil tried to take that throne away from him. He didn't get up. I tell you, he got up to come down here to die. But then he went back up there and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. One day he's getting up off that throne. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come back for me and you. I believe we read something about he's going to say, come up hither. Come up hither, my fair one. Come away. You know what? Whenever he says that, this robe of flesh is going to drop and I'm going to rise. I'm looking forward to that day, Brother Kenny. Whenever I get to go home to be with him, we shall see Jesus. Can I tell you, I'll get to look at the one who lived and died for me. I'll get to look at him face to face. I believe as Moses said, he's talked to him face to face as a friend, as they communicate. One day we're going to see him. Church, can you imagine looking upon him, seeing him in his glory? I'll be done in one minute. Let me say this one point, and I promise. One point. Mark that down, just one. Moses was defeated. Moses was all those things. Moses was discouraged. Moses was defeated. Moses doubted. He said, God, I did all these things and those people. He went up there and he got the law. He came back down off the law. You find this in Exodus. He got mad with the people. He found them naked, dancing around a golden calf that Aaron made. He got fed up and he broke the law. I mean, can you imagine Moses? He was mad at himself. He was mad at the people. He was mad at everybody. Then he got along with God and he said, God, show me thy glory. I tell you, God said, Moses, no man can see me and live. He said, but there's a place by me. Amen. He said, there's a place by me. I'll take you. Note, he didn't say, Moses, I don't want you to go. He said, I'll take you and I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. He said, I'll cover my hand and I'll pass by you. He said, my goodness will pass by. I'll tell you, if you ever get the glory, the goodness is going to have to come first. The goodness of God passed by and then the glory followed. And you know what happened? He got to see his hinder part. He got to see his back just a little bit of it. He just caught a glimpse. He saw him. I'll tell you, there's nothing like seeing the glory of God fall. Amen. As Moses was there, he said, show me thy glory. If I can just get a hold of God, if God will just pass by, my problems will be solved. Church, I tell you, if we ever get a hold of God and God passes by, our problems won't be so big. I tell you, all our cares in the world will subside if we just get a hold of God. Yes. If God will just pass by, everything we hold dear will start to look a little bit drear. If we just get a hold of God and him to pass by, he said, show me thy glory. He said, all right, Moses, you want to see me? There's a place by me. I'm glad that we can go to a place by him. I'm glad we can experience that along the way. Whenever we're down and discouraged and defeated and we just feel ran over by the devil, I'm glad Jesus will come up here. There's a place by me. I'll just put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by. You'll forget about everything. You can just experience my marvelous grace. You can experience my presence. You can experience my power. You can experience the love of God just by me. I'm glad that we can get close to God. I'd say as soon as that, I believe Moses was satisfied from there on out. Then he said, preacher, what happened next? I believe it was Mays Jackson said, that's how Noah died. He got up there on top of that mountain and God said, Moses, you remember what you asked of me? You wanted to see me? I remember, God. Well, no man can see me and live. Do you still want to see me? Mays Jackson said, God came down and smothered him to death with Holy Ghost kisses. But I don't know about that, but the Bible says Moses died a healthy man. There's nothing wrong with Moses. But you know what? I believe God said, you want to see me? Moses, you want to see me? No man can see me and live. You only saw a little backside of me, but you know what, Moses? He said, there's something you can't see me. He said, you want to see me, Moses? Here I am. And I believe he just dropped it. And Moses saw him. You know what it was? It was breathtaking. He died and he went on to heaven. I believe Moses died seeing God. Church, do you want to see God? There's a lot of things. You want to see God? You want to see God in his power? You want to see God in his glory? I believe that's what's missing in a lot of churches. God, his presence and his power. Church, if we're ever going to have a church over there, we're going to have God. I tell you, we're not going to have people. We're not going to have finances. We're not going to have all that. We're going to have it. It'll help. Can I tell you what will help more? The presence of God. The power of God through prayer. I tell you, the Bible says this kind only comes by what? Prayer and fasting. I tell you, someone's going to have to get a hold of God. The disciples said, God, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? He said, this kind only comes by prayer and fasting. What are you praying for tonight? Macy, if you don't care to go to the piano, you want to? Oh, one more.
Give that microphone, brother.
I'll go ahead and be taking that off. But I'm done. That wasn't long at all. Church, what are you praying for? Oh.
Folks, if y'all had a program, just tear it up.
Hey, listen, I didn't come to preach tonight, but I'll tell you what. I thank God for the privilege to stand and try to preach the Word of God and share with you what God has just touched my heart with this day. I had a spell this morning when Mark said Numbers chapter 13. Amen. You know what that was? That was the first message that I ever preached in 1980 right here at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, children, God is still good in 2018. He's a still the same God as He was back then as He is now. I'm glad, children, that He can do in our life what needs to be done today. I'm glad for the grace of God and the power of God. How we find that Joshua and Caleb with the other 10 went up and searched out the land. And Joshua and Caleb went down to the brook of Eshcol, and they sat down in that brook and they had a cluster of grapes. They cut them grapes off and they took one grape up for that vine. I believe they divided that between themselves because my friend, the cluster of grapes, it took both of them to bring it down to that mountain. They sit there by that brook Eshcol and they begin to eat on that grape. Amen. The message, the title of my message in 1980 was The Goodness of God's Grapes. Amen. My friend, we got to sit down and get the end of that grape. Let that juice run down our face, cover our body, and enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. God is good tonight. Amen. I'm glad He is. I'm glad He ever will be. My friend, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, I'm glad God is always good. Amen. He'll help us in every step that we take. He'll be right there with us. I can see Joshua and Caleb now as they come down that mountain with that cluster of grape on the pole. My friend, they're coming down through there. And Joshua hollered back to Caleb and said, "Are we soon going to be there?" Caleb said, "Go ahead, Joshua. Keep carrying these grapes. We're going to show this people that the goodness of God is waiting on us." My friend, and they come through the woods, and it was opened up, and Joshua said, "Yonder's home." They walked up out of that people and they said, "Listen, right here's what God has got waiting on us." The other 10 said, "Well now, wait a minute. The children of Achan's over there. Them boys is big and they'll kill us." Joshua said, "Yeah. But if you ever take a bite of these grapes that we got off on the brook of Eshcol, you won't have to worry about them giants over there in that land." Youngs, I'm telling you what today, if we ever get a taste of what God can do, my friend, you'll never turn back away from Him again. You'll want that goodness from God in your heart and your life today. Youngs, He's just as real back in 1980 as He is right now in 2018. I'm glad He's real in my heart and in my soul today. He done something for me that only nobody else could do, my friend, but Him today. Now I tell you, I like to come out of my seat a time or two. Hey man, when Brother Mark said, "I want you to turn to Numbers 13. Hey man, but I like to get into them grapes, brother. I like to see the goodness of God in my heart and my life. And listen, folks, I'm telling you right now, you can ask anybody that knows me, I do not put on no show. My friend, I'm just the same Kenny Anderson. My friend, I'll never change. I'll shout the praises of God. I'll run the aisle. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. My friend, doesn't matter to me. Because one day, He died on the cross of Calvary for Kenny Anderson. He loved me enough to give His life for me. And buddy, when you feel and you taste, and listen, I'm not saved by feelings.
Come on, brother.
My friend, I'm saved by grace.
Yes.
Through faith.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ.
Man.
The Bible says, "With what man believeth." It's not up here.
Right.
It's got to drop from up here down here. My friend, when you believe it down here, It's real. Thank God, my friend, for Jesus. This book is filled with all kinds of stuff that really stir my heart and stir my... They get my juices going, amen. I just can't help myself. I thank God, my friend, that I tasted the goodness of God's grapes in 1980 when I surrendered to the call of God. God told me, if you don't preach my word, I'll take the nearest thing that you love away from you. That was a little blonde-headed girl about that high. You know what I done? I run crying, got in this altar. I said, God, I can't preach. Don't know what to preach. I'm just a little old country bumpkin. He said, don't you worry about that. You let me take care of that. And my friend, I did. Brother Feldman Cheek, I got saved on a Saturday night in revival meeting. I mean, I announced my call to preach on a Saturday night in revival meeting. Brother Feldman, when I told him how he made me turn right around and tell the church. Then he come up beside of me. He whispered my ear. He said, Sunday morning, you're going to be preaching. You know what I did? Now listen, don't get this. Don't misunderstand me when I say this. I didn't run to the computer.
Come on, brother.
I didn't run to my brother that's already preaching. I didn't run to mom and daddy. I didn't run to my wife. You know what I did? Oh, Lord, help me. Give me that, God, please. That you would have me to stand and preach the word of God. My friend, when I done that, God come into my heart and he said, listen, Kenny, I want you to preach on them grapes. And young as I'm a simple man, I've been simple all my life, and I ain't changing now.
Amen.
Amen. Buddy, when I stand and preach the word of God, you're going to know what I'm preaching. Amen. Youngs, listen, God is good. Amen. If you just reach out there.
Amen.
Take some time, my friend, to stop by the brook of Escrow and get you a grape, one of God's grapes, and eat on that thing a little bit, and it'll do you some good.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God knows I wasn't going to do this tonight. But you know what? I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. Listen, youngins, I love you. Let's get as close to God as we possibly can. Let's love Him as much as we possibly can. Let's enjoy life. Take time and slow down and just look around at what God's doing. What a wonderful, wonderful God we've got today. Amen. Well, how am I tangled up here, brother? Amen. I'm all messed up.
Loosen and let him go.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We have more preachers? This is life unscripted. I like it. Brother Scott, come up here.